Welcome back to Footwork, a podcast for those who dream big, never settle, and make their own path. I'm Sean.
And I'm Dylan. Together with guests, we share stories and tips every Monday to educate, inspire, and create a community built of soccer players and dream chasers.
Better to have a short life that is full of what you like doing than a long life spent in a miserable way.
Welcome to Footwork. Danny Vitiello was a professional goalkeeper for Sacramento Republic FC in the USL Championship, the second tier of U.S. soccer. Danny played at the University of Albany before signing with, at the time, USL Championship side Nashville SC. After spending his first professional season adjusting to the pro game, Danny signed for Pittsburgh Riverhounds, where he was awarded USL Championship's Golden Glove. He has since signed for Sacramento Republic FC, where he played a huge part in their historic 2022 U.S. Open Cup run, making it all the way to the final, beating three MLS teams in the process. Danny shares insight into his underdog mentality, hearing doubt from coaches but still knowing his worth, being a leader from the back, constantly learning and working hard, and many tips for young aspiring goalkeepers. This is Underdog Mentality with Danny Vitiello.
So another Massapequa Park native from the hometown. We had Dakota Barnathan on a while ago. Danny Vitiello, welcome to Footwork.
Thanks for having me, guys. I'm excited.
Anyway, we always start out with the motto here, so that's make your own path. And someone who's really went out and made a name in U.S. soccer, what does making your own path mean to you?
Yeah, so, I mean, I think it's just like putting your head down and just working hard. I mean, ever since high school, you know, I've always been sort of an underdog, you know, and it's just always keeping the dream alive and just always thinking, you know, you can make it. You know, no matter where you're from, you know, what you're doing, how who you play for, I think there's always a chance. And if you just put your head down and work, I mean, the sky's the limit.
Love it. And before we get deeper into some of these topics and your story, who are you, where were you, and where are you going?
All right. So I'm Danny Vitiello. I'm a goalkeeper. I'm from Massapequa, obviously. Grew up in Massapequa, played club soccer in Massapequa, New York. Played for the University at Albany for 4.5 years. And then I moved to Nashville SC, to Pittsburgh. And now I'm here in Sacramento, playing for the Sacramento Republic, playing goalkeeper over here. And it's been a fun ride.
Very nice. So let's start with the now then. First league game against El Paso, 1-0 win, clean sheet. A bit of a tough couple flights home, obviously, but a great start to the season. So what are your goals personally and as a team for this year?
Yeah, so a big thing this year is, you know, last year, obviously, we did some good things. We made it to an Open Cup final. We made it to the USL Championship playoffs, but ultimately we didn't win anything. You know, we didn't win any silverware. So this year, the big thing coming into camp is we need some silverware. We need something for, you know, the fans to be excited about. We need to be making finals and, you know, trying to lift some trophies. And yeah, that was a big thing in preseason this year. And, you know, all of our energy and passion is every single day working and training is just building up to that, you know, just the end of September, October, you know, being able to play for trophies and yeah, just working hard towards that.
And you touched on it, the U.S. Open Cup final run. I mean, what a run. You eventually get to the final with Orlando City. On the way, you beat San Jose Earthquakes 2-0 in round of 16, LA Galaxy 2-1 quarterfinals, Sporting Kansas City in Pens, which I believe you made a save in the semifinal, and then get to the final, the first non-MLS team to do it since 2008, which is, I mean, what a run, first off. Describe the mentality on that. And what made it so special, and how was it even possible?
Yeah, I think the mentality of the group was just like, we had players, you know, to be able to, you know, beat these teams. I mean, we had 11 guys who were starting, then guys on the bench, you know, who could be playing at the highest level in American soccer. And I think we believe that. And, you know, it's going into each match, you know, our coaches put in great game plans, you know, in order to see out results. And, you know, when we stepped on the field, you know, we just believed in each other and what we put out on a daily basis in training. And yeah, I think I think we showed that the leagues nowadays, there isn't much, you know, separating us. And, you know, stepping on the field, you know, 11 versus 11, you know, anything can happen on a daily basis. You see the runs in the FA Cup, you know, you see these smaller division teams going to Tottenham Hotspur Stadium, you know, it's similar here. It's just, you just got to want it, and you got to believe in yourself on a daily basis to, you know, get there. And then ultimately just got to put more balls in the back of the net than the other team. And three times we did it last year. It was great.
I mean, just like you said, it goes to show the immense talent in the USL, the closing of the gap on the MLS, and I guess the possibilities for the future. So, I mean, did you guys kind of have that in mind as like you had a point to prove that, you know, yeah, we are the second tier to the MLS, but there's not much separating us and anything can happen on the field?
Yeah, of course there was a point to prove. We have guys on our team who have played in very high levels in MLS or overseas. And I think each guy individually said that had a point to prove just for themselves, you know, that for me, you know, I've never played MLS, but, you know, it goes back to, you know, believing in yourself, you know, and making your own path. You know, I could, like, saying to myself, I could play at the highest level. You know, the chance just hasn't come yet. But, you know, so you go out and you want to prove yourself. That's really it. And luckily we were able to do that.
Yeah. And last season, Sacramento Republic averaged over 10,000 fans per game, ranking number one in the USL Championship, which is incredible. I mean, how does it feel to play for a team with so much support?
Yeah, it's great. I mean, this organization is top in our league. And you see it on a daily basis, just on how we're treated. You know, you go out to, you know, grocery shopping and you get noticed. And yeah, I've been to places where you get, you know, 4,000, 5,000 fans, and that was great. And then you show up to Sacramento and, you know, you have 11,000 fans, you know, roaring. And it just pushes you to that extra amount, you know, on a Saturday to get a result. And last year, I think we lost maybe one or two games at home all season, including the Open Cup. And I think they were a big driving point on why we made the run that we did. You know, for San Jose versus Sporting Kansas City, they pushed us to get those results for sure. And yeah, they're a big part of why we want to win trophies. And, you know, you want to win big games because, you know, ultimately we're doing it for them. We're doing it for the city. And yeah, they're a big part of the Sacramento Republic culture and the team.
Speaking on this, the idea and the urge to get these trophies and kind of make that switch from great performances and an historic run, but just getting that extra bit to win that silverware. I mean, does that come down to more mentality in your opinion, in terms of doing more to get to that last stretch, that last ounce out of everybody to get to the final stretch?
Yeah. I mean, I think winning is a mentality in general. I mean, if you step on the field for training with a bad mentality, you know, not wanting to get better that day, you know, I don't think you're going to be going very far, not only in your career, but winning trophies. So, I mean, I think the guys that make it far, you know, in their career, they step on the field every day during training, wanting to win those 5v5 at the end, wanting to win those possession drills. And yeah, I mean, I think last year we had the mentality in training. We just came up a little bit short. But yeah, I think if you have the right headspace to want to do it every day, then you'll be making those finals year in and year out to, you know, get silverware and take that off your checklist.
Yeah, absolutely. And speaking of training, and I mean, your position as a keeper and being a leader, how do you approach training? Are you one of the guys that's like, if you don't win in training, it's a rough day at the office? How are you?
Yeah. You know, I'll speak for my wife on this. If I have a bad training session or, you know, I lose a session, yeah, I'm not very happy coming home. You know, I think she knows if I won at the end of a training session or not from how I walk through those doors, you know. But yeah, that's only for like the first 20 minutes, you know, but yeah. I get on to my daily, you know, routine. But yeah, I'm one of those guys where I'm screaming if you know, we're losing or if guys aren't taking it too serious. I want to win, you know, day in and day out. And, you know, I think guys on the team will tell you the same thing on the energy I bring to training is to just get that 1% better every single day and get those results, you know.
And rewinding the clock a bit, growing up in Massapequa, you did have early success winning a club national championship and high school state championship. Was the idea of playing professional a constant thought during these years, or was it never on your radar?
I think during high school, it was just always the next step. So when I was in high school, you know, when we were in high school, it was all about, you know, getting a scholarship to college, you know, going to Division One, you know, all that hoopla. So I think when I was in high school, it was all about, you know, how do I go to college? How do I get to that next step? And yeah, like I think I had a pretty successful high school career. I believe we ended up winning 3 state championships in club soccer, and then with the high school, my senior year, we won a state championship for the high school season. Yeah, I just think that driving point was you need a win in order to, you know, get looks from colleges and, you know, ultimately get a scholarship to help out with, you know, tuition and living, you know, over there. And yeah, I think my mentality was always just, you know, got to get better in order to prove myself at the next level.
Yeah. The next step. Exactly. So
yeah,
I've heard on another podcast, I want to talk a little bit about this recruiting process. So I had heard that you said you had done a few college combines and you got a report from college coaches and they kind of gave you a grade. And I was just wondering if you could just walk us through that and the mentality and feeling maybe like you had a point to prove.
Yeah. So I went through, you know, the college process. You know, the big thing was to go to like these college camps. You stay overnight or, you know, those one day, 2 day camps. So I went to a Villanova one, and their goalkeeper coach at the time, he was someone who played in the MLS. I don't know his name for sure. And at the end of it, you know, they give out these like cards, you know, of like how they think we did. And like that camp, like I made the all-star team like once. They had like 2 all-star games. I made one of them, played all right, played pretty well. And at the end of the camp, they gave me this card, and it was just like, yeah, it was like, you should try playing like high Division III. You know, that's where we see you best fit. And I looked at that and I was like, wow, like I thought I played really well, blah, blah, blah. And, you know, they gave me the card. I wish I kept the card to this day, but I didn't. And then I also went to like a Division III, like it was pretty good school. It was like Scranton, Scranton University. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I sent an email afterwards to them, like asking what they think. And they were like, yeah, we're looking for someone like with more athleticism. And I was like, I mean, I've been told all my life I'm pretty athletic. I played basketball, baseball. I don't know. But yeah, you know, those camps did, you know, luckily I was able to, you know, push myself into, you know, just keep putting my head down. And yeah, those camps ultimately didn't turn out the way I thought they were, you know, ended up kind of negative, but. You know, I guess that happens in the college recruiting process. You're only showing yourself for those 2 days. So
yeah,
it's hard to really, I guess, get a real picture of what I am as a player. But yeah, that's how those went. I thought that was pretty great. Pretty funny.
And as an experienced pro now, I'm sure you've come to understand that it's a game of opinions, that a coach here might think you're amazing, another one thinks you're not the best. Did you have this mentality at these combines or at this age? Were you able to get over it and understand, okay, this is just someone's opinion and I know my worth?
I mean it's all about opinions. You know, you gotta know like what you're capable of. I know on a Saturday I can go make 5 saves and get my team a result, whether it's a clean sheet or whatever. I know I could do that, you know, but, you know, each coach has what they want, what they're looking for. Maybe I wasn't, you know, the right size, you know, who knows. I'm 6'2", but maybe they need someone 6'5", who's able to just stand in the 6-yard box and lift the ball over everyone's head. And maybe, you know, maybe they want their keeper to be able to play out of the back or a certain way, or, you know, you know, you go into these camps, you know, you do small sided, and then you could like for me, like you win the day or whatever, you win the games, but ultimately these guys, they could want a certain stature, and you know, they're going to tell you, you know, things that, you know, they see that they don't see that, and that's why they don't want you here. So maybe I did well, you know, but I'm not 6'5", and they want someone who, so they already know what they want, pretty much, you know what I mean?
Yeah, it's so true. I mean, so often they have this preconceived notion of what they're looking for, and it doesn't matter how good you play. It's really just like, in the end, they're looking for this, and they have the blinders on for that. It doesn't really reflect on the terms of your performance or who you are as a player.
And in these camps too, you know, there's guys that they want to see that they bring out. You know, they're not paying the $100 fee. You know, and you know, it's
all part of it.
It's part of it. It's part of it. Exactly.
Some of our money grab. Some helps people. It's tough to say, but like. In the end, they're not really the end all be all, these camps.
I mean, even when you're in college, you know, you work these, you know, you help out with these camps, and there's like 100 kids that come.
Yeah, it's so tough.
And you're like, we only have 20 guys on the team, you know, like, can't take all these kids. You know?
No, yeah. Completely right. So you do end up choosing University of Albany, though. I'm just wondering, do you have any advice for younger players kind of on this route to choosing a college?
Yeah, you know, I think it's more than just, you know, playing soccer. I think college these days, guys are in high school, and you know, it's all about going pro. You know, it's all about you know, how am I going to go pro? So you go, you see kids get all these scholarships, and you're like, oh, Wake Forest is ranked number one. I want to go to Wake Forest.
Yeah,
and then they go to Wake Forest, and they're not playing the first year. You know, there's seniors and juniors who are there already, who have gone through the years of sitting out, you know, and now they're like, oh, I want to transfer. I didn't play this year. I think you ultimately gotta know what you're going into for the school. You gotta like the school you want to go to. So when I was choosing college, you know, I did all the visits like I wasn't a soccer player. Like I would visit the school. I would walk around, you know, whether it was having kids on a soccer team with the coach, walking around the school, could I see myself there? You know, going to the dorm rooms, can I see myself in this dorm room? Because ultimately that's where you're going to be living for a year. You know, can you see yourself in this dorm room, rather than, oh yeah, I can see myself, you know, walking into this locker room every day where they spend millions of dollars. And yeah, in 4 years or in 2 years, I can leave and go pro, because we're going to be ranked number one and making the NCAA tournament. I'm going to have all these eyes on me, because I speak to kids these days and I tell them what I'm telling you right now. And they're like, yeah, but I need to play my freshman year because I want to leave and go pro after a year or two. You know, I want to be a Generation Adidas guy. Truth is, only six guys a year get Generation Adidas. Like, you're going there for an education. You know, if you wanted to go pro, like there's other routes to go pro from high school. Like, but college, you got to make sure you like the school before you go, because if you're not playing, you're going to be miserable if you don't like the school. You got to be able to enjoy it. You got to be able to have friends, you know, like the classes you're going to, like the setup. Just the amount of kids these days that you see entering the transfer portal. The transfer portal is a whole new world nowadays. I don't even know how to explain it anymore, but you see kids.
I don't really know what it is, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
I've been out the college game for a while.
Yeah. You see kids go to school for 3 months, they don't play, and then they answer the transfer portal and they try it in a different school. And then if they don't play there, they're entered in a second time.
Again.
Wow.
Yeah, it's
and it's unlimited. It's like, can you just enter as many times
I think there's a cap, but
okay.
I would say there's probably a cap, but yeah, there's just the transfer portal is just a mess nowadays. And
then you go on the transfer portal, and then other coaches can see that you're looking to join a new college.
Exactly.
Gotcha. Okay.
Yeah, exactly.
Wow. So, that's fascinating.
Yeah.
And speaking on that, I mean, like some of these kids that you're speaking to saying, oh, I need to play freshman year. You actually redshirted your freshman year, which ultimately wound up being a great decision. Your junior year, you were ranked number 3 in the country for save percentage. Did you make that decision because you felt you needed time to develop and grow, or was it a decision that someone else saw and recommended you to make?
Yeah, so I mean, obviously going in my freshman year, we'll get into this, I think. So going in my freshman year, there was 5 keepers. The year before they had 4, but they got down to their last two goalkeepers because of injuries. So I kind of like, obviously Albany's a state school, so being from New York, it's a little cheap on the cheaper side. So I came in as the 5th keeper, Division 1, you know, check that off the mark. In high school, I wanted to play Division 1. You know, that's mm-hmm. that's what I wanted to do. That was my so check mark. And then once I got there, it was like, wow, these guys are grown men. You know, you walk around on these visits. I'm looking at the gym, and there's 3 guys working out, and they're, you know, juniors, seniors, just huge. Look like they can, you know, bench press 250 on the bench bar as a soccer player. I haven't lifted a pound in high school. I mean, Sean, you probably know, you could tell what I looked like in high school as a sophomore.
As we all did, so did I.
Yeah. I mean, I came in like a little bit of a bowling ball, you know, like bigger stomach than my chest. And, you know, you see these guys, just absolute units, you know, they could literally like lift me and toss me out of the gym. But anyway, I come in freshman year, 5 keepers. And they have a senior, so I'm like, all right, I'm probably not gonna play, blah blah blah. We'll see how training is. Training that first year, like I was pretty much like a second goalkeeper coach.
Oh really?
Pretty much, you know, serving, and then I would go in, trade with the other guy who was the 4th, serve, and he would serve and I would go, you know, and then and let me know if I'm going too far out of the
No, league. No, please do. That's good. This is good. Yeah. This is good.
And I'm pretty much like, okay, so this is where I'm at, I guess. So just kind of working hard. Luckily, I had a good goalkeeper coach who kind of would talk to me and kind of act like most goalkeeper coaches, they would only care about, you know, who's playing, you know, who's maybe the number 2, you know, making sure they're ready. But he would always talk to me, you know, keep me in the loop, kind of like, oh, I got plans for you. Like, I like the way, like, you do this. You know, I have big plans. And yeah, just that year, just kind of learning what it took to be a Division 1, you know, rookie, you know, just learning what it takes on a daily basis, what to eat, you know, what to do like outside of soccer, you know, classes, how to do well in school, like,
yeah,
that kind of stuff. And then it was just one morning. I was just like, you know what, I think I should probably like just have a conversation with our coach, you know, just walk in. I think it was like, let's see, what it was, like October or something. It was like middle of the season. I'm like, let me just walk in, like, see what he thinks. You know, I already know what redshirting is, like, maybe just bring it up to him. I haven't played a single second, so I could have been on that path anyway. He could have just, you know, after the season, just been like, yeah, we're just gonna redshirt him, you know. And I walked in, you know, I was just like, hey coach, like, I know, like, I haven't played, like, and I think I want to, like, redshirt, blah, blah, blah. And he was just like, do you even know what redshirting is? I'm like, yeah, like, you don't play, and, like, you get an extra year, like, if, like, I want to do that. And he's like, oh, yeah, like, I think that's the right path for you. Like, I think, can you see yourself here for an extra year, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, yeah, like, I can see myself here. Like, I could see myself, you know, if I'm doing well, like wanting to stay. And after that full semester, I think we lost actually the first keeper went down, and the second keeper had like a shoulder issue. So it actually went down to the, like, a third keeper in the playoffs. I was like, it was a playoff game. And I was like, well, if I, like, I'm like, I could play, and like there was thoughts about playing me in the last playoff game, because ultimately I proved myself to be pretty damn good that year. And it was between me and another keeper, and they were like, I don't think it's worth playing you in this playoff game. we were ranked like fourth or whatever in the conference. They ultimately played the other kid, and but they were like, "We're gonna keep you on the bench. Like if he goes down, like you're gonna go in." And I'm like, "Oh, like this
that's
is
such
it.
A weird position
yeah.
to be in,
It's
bro."
so crazy because like so we had three keepers like not hurt, and they're like, "Okay, like we're gonna have two of you on the bench, both of you on the bench. Like if we're up, like." If we're up by a lot or losing by a lot, like we'll play the other guy, like because you're redshirting, you know. But if we're up 1-0, like you're going, we're throwing you in, like we need you in. And I'm like, okay, like that's where my mentality is. Ultimately, we lose the game, and I'm like, okay, like I guess I get my extra year. And then at the end of the fall, like he, like the coach brings all the goalkeepers in. And he's like, yeah, it's gonna be a dog fight like this spring to see who's starting the next year. And then, yeah, that's a whole nother story if you want to get into that. But yeah, I wanted to redshirt, and I brought it up, and I think it was just a good idea in general because I think it's good for all goalkeepers just to know what you're getting into, like knowing the training, you know, ritual, and yeah, I mean, I think it was good for me. I always tell myself that it was probably the best thing for me because I got all the car like the college stuff out of the way. You know, I learned how to do well in school. You know, I learned like when and what not to go out, you know, just all that stuff. And ultimately it led me to, you know, be who I was in college when I was playing. And I think it was just smart and a good idea.
Yeah, it seems like you kind of learned like the balance of it all before you actually had to be kind of thrown in there. But I mean, I would love to talk about the spring season and this idea of like competing against other keepers in general too. So like a dogfight for a starting position, I mean, this happens a lot as keepers. I mean, five keepers or whatever you're saying, dogfight, that's a bit much, but I mean, what is that like?
Yeah, so obviously the senior left that year who played the majority of the games, and then it was really down to three keepers, the guy who played the playoff game, the number two, and then me. He was like, "Yeah, it's gonna be a dogfight." I'm like, "Yeah, hell yeah! Like I'm gonna go into this winter and I'm gonna lose." I went to my meeting. I was like, "Yeah, I think I want to be 185." I was like 195. I want to lose a couple pounds. I was a little pudgy, so I want to get all that stuff out. And I was like, yeah, I'm gonna come back from winter, and I'm gonna run the 2 mile in under 12 minutes, blah blah blah. So I go back for winter break, and I come back, and I actually gained 7 pounds, and I run the 2 mile in like
Attempt.
in 13 minutes, and I'm like, oh. I'm so like, I'm
That
just like
didn't go according
disappointed
to
in
plan.
myself. Like, you know, like I went back and, you know, it's Christmas. Like you're eating all this
Yeah, you're
crap.
eating
You
good.
know,
Yeah.
yeah, like I'm having cookies like every night, like stuff like that. And yeah, he put like the coach pulls me into the office and he just looks at me for like 90 seconds, like no words are being said. And then he's just like, "I'm just disappointed." Like,
Oh.
yeah.
Oh, I'm
And
not mad. I'm just disappointed. Oh, worst thing to hear.
like, yeah, like, I don't even know like how that conversation could have went for like 30 minutes, and I don't remember. I blacked out, like don't
Blacked
remember
out, yeah.
a single thing. And then I went, well, I guess I'm just gonna, you know, try and work it all off now. So I think it took me like about 3 weeks to a month to lose like 12, like I'm sure most of it was water weight, but I lost like 20 pounds in like a month.
Wow. So
And
you just went after it, man.
I was like in the gym, like I would do this stuff with the team, and like I would go to the gym at night, like, and run again. Like I was doing like 2 or 3 days like by myself, like doing all like this fun stuff. I was eating like I had the same meals every single day. For lunch, I would have like the same sandwich, same bland sandwich, turkey provolone and wheat bread. With and then for dinner, I would have a salad, like this big salad, mostly of lettuce, and then yeah, and go work out. I was working out 3 times a day. Probably wasn't the smartest idea. I was probably take like
Yeah,
I
you
was,
live and you learn.
yeah, probably wasn't the best. I probably could have got hurt or something, but. You know, that was just my mentality. Like I needed to prove myself that I wanted to be here and I wanted to, you know, start for the team. And then So yeah, I ended up that spring having pretty good spring season, being like I ended up being like 185, so I lost like 20 pounds in the spring. I came back from the spring semester, and guys were like, "Holy crap! Like, where did you go?" Like, I'm like a pinky. Like, I'm like I came into college like this pudgy guy, like 200 pounds, and then come back like you hear about the 15, like the freshman 15, like going up, and like I came back down, and they're like, "Holy crap! Like what are they doing to you over there?" I'm just like, "Yeah, like don't know. Like just I just want to play."
Big salad guy.
Yeah, every single day, same salad, like chicken salad, like so many vegetables in there. And then ultimately it was between me and another guy, because the third guy, something happened with him in school. I don't think he did well in school, so it was just between me and this other kid going into the summer. And then I think something happened with like he ended up like gain like he gained like 5 pounds, and then that sophomore year, I started the first game. It was great. Just being able to prove yourself in those spring games. You know, I think I let up like one or two goals that spring, playing 45 minutes a game. So it's different. But yeah, that I ended up starting versus Villanova that in my debut, which going
It's
back to the
ironic.
camp, I was like, yeah, like we're gonna beat these guys. Like we ended up losing 3-0. I made like seven save. So I guess that's a bright side. But yeah, we ended up losing 3-0. That was an eye opener. And then that year, we kind of split the non-conference games. And then when we got into conference, luckily the end of conference, I started playing, and we ended up winning the league. We're the number one seed, but we lost in the playoffs that year. So, I mean, ultimately, it didn't start out great that spring, but it ended pretty well. And I guess you could say that I proved myself to be able to start in that first game, which was great.
Absolutely. So overall, and for your time at Albany, how would you say you grew the most, and in what area as a keeper did you grow the most that kind of prepared you for the next steps into the professional game later on?
I think just kind of just managing the game and just being a leader. Like coming from high school, you go into college and you're the new boy. You're a rookie. You're just kind of, you're in a shell yourself. So when I was in the goal, like I was just quiet. I was just, oh, these guys have been here long. I can't yell at this the right center back who's a senior. And 210 of all muscle, like I can't. And that was a rude awakening. Like you got, like if you're going to be the keeper of a Division One team or just a team in general, you need to be screaming your butt off at these guys. You got to seem like you're crazy. Like you want your center backs looking at you like, holy crap, like this guy's behind me, he's gonna run through whoever. Like it doesn't matter if it's me or the guy I'm playing against. He's gonna run it. Like whether you're going to or not, like you got to seem like it. You got to be screaming at these guys. You got to have like spit on your beard, like on your mustache. Just
Gotta have a beard too. Gotta have a
like
beard.
just like drooling, like going crazy, like
Like this guy could do anything right now.
yeah, like just kind of just like just learning to communicate, just learning to be the keeper. Like you gotta be
Have
the
a
guy. You gotta have
presence.
confidence. You gotta walk with, yeah, you gotta have presence. You gotta have this confidence about you when you walk onto the field. And you just gotta have big balls. Like, yeah, like, oh, this guy's a red shirt freshman, but he's gonna have my back, and he's gonna do whatever it is to keep the ball in it, whether it's yelling at the red shirt senior to cover the guy, or yelling at him after a goal is let in because he's fucking pissed, because he's pissed off. Like, yeah, just learning stuff like that.
And so how has your communication kind of changed over the years in terms of like when to be positive, when to be critical, when to be tactical, like always keeping your players involved, also keeping yourself involved? I think the communication aspect of a keeper is like that is the main thing, because it's the first thing everyone hears. And you're the first person who sees everything. So like, and then also, I mean, just showing positivity, like after a goal, like being, all right, guys, like, let's go. Like, we got this back. So like, what is your relationship and how has it kind of grown over the years?
Yes. So, so coming from college, you know, like I got ripped into a couple of times because, you know, my communication was lacking. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, once I got, you know, like it's my job to do it. Like it was, I was like that's, so I went from being a shell of myself to, you know, never shutting up. And I learned that that helps me as well. Like, I think for a keeper, you know, ultimately you hope your keeper doesn't really touch the ball that much. So in order to keep engaged, you want to be, oh, make sure this guy's marked, you know, just like while the ball's on the other side of the field, just like always engaged on, okay, who can I be? Who can I be yelling at? Who can I, like, what kind of directions I can give? And yeah, it's just, and I think there's a lot of give and take on like when to react positively and when to react negatively. So I think, you know, if there's a big play, you know, and, you know, our right back, you know, sees a ball out for a goal kick at, in the 77th minute, we're up 1-0. There's a time where you're going to be, you know, giving a little extra, you know, being a cheerleader and kind of being like, you're the man. Like, that was fucking, that was awesome. Sorry.
No, you can go ahead.
You're good.
Okay. That was amazing. Like, and you see me, like, you'll see me if you watch the El Paso game, like, I'm like, let's go. Like, just because the ball went out of play and he shielded him out. Like, you gotta have positive reinforcement. But then if there's a big chance, you know, that they just miss and it doesn't go in the net, you gotta get on their butts and be screaming at them so that they know, okay, I can't let that happen again. Like that, that was lucky. So like, I think it was in preseason, like someone tried to do like a flick on our, like they tried to like do a back heel on our 18, and they got the ball back and shot it over the box. And I'm in the guy's face, like get that crap out of here. Like that doesn't happen. Yeah. Like you cannot. And unfortunately it was like a 22-year-old kid. You know, he's like, he's learning, you know, he's a little bit inexperienced, but he's like, I'm never doing that again, because this crazy guy who has spit on his,
this crazy guy's got spit all over his beard,
over his beard is gonna yell at me every time I do it. But I and then, you know, if the ball goes in the back of the net, there's this like pent up energy where you want to scream at him, but mm-hmm. ultimately you can't really do much about it. So you could give a little bit of instruction on what to do, but you got to pick that player up right away. So it's just like, the game's not ending. You can't like destroy this guy's life. So you gotta keep him okay. Like, okay, we have your back, like, you're good. And then after the game is when you kind of sit down and you're like, listen, like, you gotta be here so you can clear that ball next time. You know what I mean?
But in that moment, you're like redirecting that energy, right? To kind of be like, guys, like, you know, let's pick it up. We can.
Yeah. So I'm picking the ball out of the net. I'm throwing it forward right away. I'm making sure these guys have their heads up.
Yeah.
You know, because it's 1-0. We're down, but it's the 27th minute. Like, how many games you see? You just saw Arsenal down 2-0 against Bournemouth. They win the game 3-2, and ultimately they can win the league now because of that result. The game just doesn't end in the 22nd minute because that guy made a mistake or whoever made a mistake. You gotta put it forward, and if we win the game, that mistake is like, you'll forget about it.
Right, exactly. And then walk us through your transition into the pros. How did you wind up signing for Nashville SC?
Yeah, so I guess it was kind of when I started playing in college where it was just like, all right, what's next?
it starts to come in there.
So you start playing like my freshman year, it's like, how do I play? Like, how do I get into the game? Like, and then once I start playing and I'm kind of like, okay, like I'm the guy, like, it's like, all right, so what's going to be after this, you know?
Right.
And luckily my junior year, my college coach, he had a couple connections like in the pro game. He was like, yeah, like, would you want to go like during the summer to like spend a week on like trial with, I think there was Nashville and then there was Red Bull. So he was like, would you want to do that? And I was like, yeah, like, I don't want to do that. But again, like it's of my own money, like to go, and like you have to get a hotel. Like they can't spend money on the college guys, or else it's, or I forgo my college, you know. Right. So I have to spend, we have to spend money, and you know, my parents helped me out. They knew I want, like what I wanted to do and stuff. So I owe a lot to them, like letting me go on these ventures, you know. Red Bull, not so much, you know, I could drive there. It's like an hour, but Nashville, like I wanted to go for a week. And so I went for 5 days to Nashville, you know, and trained with the first team, got to see what it was like to, you know, train under a professional coach, you know, what they did on a daily basis. And you know, small sided came around, and you know, I was making saves left and right. Team was winning. I was making great saves, and they were like, "Yeah, you did really well. Like, we'll keep an eye on you in your senior year." Stuff like that. And then after my senior year, had an okay senior year. We didn't win the conference, but had a decent year. Made a bunch of saves. And Nashville asked me to come on trial again for like the college combine. Like they invited like 50 guys. I was one of like four keepers coming in. I got offered that for Red Bull too. Like to come back again. So Nashville was like on one weekend and Red Bulls was the next weekend. So I went to the Nashville one, did well again, and was there from Friday to Sunday. Got back after the combine on Sunday. Like I was packing up for my flight the next morning, and the GM emailed me like, "Hey Danny, like, when's the best time to call you tomorrow? Like just to talk about the combine." I'm like, "All right, like, I mean, this is weird." This is weird. Like I just saw this guy like 20 minutes ago, and he's emailing me to when I was like, okay, like I'm texting all my family. I'm like, yeah, the GM's gonna call me tomorrow. Like, this is cool. Like, I guess. So I get home, off the flight, and he calls me. And he's like, "Yeah, we're gonna offer you an entry level contract to play for us next year." And it's like November, December, you know, and I'm like, wow, I thought I was going to be waiting until like around the draft to find out if I was going to be playing professional soccer, you know, like that's when, you know, the third keeper would ultimately be taken. I'm like, okay, like, this is cool. Like, I'm going to talk to my family. I'm going to talk to my coach. I still had the Red Bull camp the weekend after. So I'm like, okay, I think I missed class on Monday. I was like, I can't deal with this. You know,
can't think about anything else. Yeah.
Yeah. So I drive to I'm like, "Hey coach, like, I need to talk to you. Like, can I come in?" He's like, "Yeah, come in." So I'm sitting in front of him. I was like, I'm like, "Yeah, like, I just got off the phone with Mike Jacobs. And they offered me an entry level contract." He's like, "They offered you?" I'm like, "Yeah, they offered me. Man, I just got off the phone. Like, I have the contract right here." I give him the phone. He's like, "Wow." He's like, "That's crazy. Like, it's super early. Like, I wasn't expecting it. He wasn't expecting it." And I'm like, "What do I do?" And he's like, "Well, like, what do you want to do? Like, you have the Red Bull camp coming up. Like, you don't know what they're gonna do." And he's like, "You're a New York kid. Like, I could see them like taking you." And I'm like, "Yeah, but I could live in Nashville for a year. You know, I could live in Nashville. That'd be pretty cool." And Nashville like was going MLS the year after, like that year. So I was like, "They're going MLS. Like, could maybe
ceiling. Yeah.
Yeah. Could prove myself that year. Like, to maybe go." And he's like, "Oh yeah. Like, Nashville, like, if you can see yourself going there, like, I think you can definitely take it." And so he actually does me a favor. He calls the Red Bull coach for me. He's like, "Yeah, like, I just got off the phone with Danny. Like, they offered him like right away." And he's like, "Yeah, we like him a lot. Like, we could see him taking him, but we're not going to make a decision until the draft. Like, we're going to see how the draft holds up, like, who's still available." And I'm like, Well, this is concrete right now. I have a contract in front of me, and they're gonna wait. So I was like, I'm going to Nashville, I guess.
I'm gonna be a pro. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm gonna be a pro. Like this is for sure. You know, I'm gonna be live in Nashville. Like they have the housing figured out. I'm not gonna go, you know, hope because like at the Red Bull camp. So I ultimately told Red Bull I'm not gonna come to the camp. That I'm gonna take the Nashville opportunity, and yeah, in November of that year, the season doesn't start till February. I signed a contract in Nashville to play. I was like, all right, signed, sealed, delivered.
Love you know? That, yeah.
Love it.
Over, yeah.
What was that moment like? Yeah. Just feeling exactly. like I made it as a pro.
Yeah, I think I called Sabrina and told her, I was like, yeah, we're going to Nashville. And she was like hysterical, crying, like, you're going to be pro, like stuff like that. Like something I wanted for the past 3 years, you know, like something right. I've been working for. She was crying. So I was, when I said that, I was like, yeah, we're going to Nashville. I was like stuff was going in my head that never happened before. I was like,
that's the moment.
Oh my God. And then I called my parents and they were ecstatic. And I was like, well, this is the dream. Yeah. Yeah. And then, yeah, it was from there. I was just like, all right, we're going to Nashville. I have to figure out what I'm bringing. You know, do I need furniture? Like, are they going to have all that stuff? Mm-hmm. And yeah, for those 2 months, that winter was very crazy because, you know, I had a lot of family I had to say like goodbye to, like that, you know, I'm used to seeing like every weekend, like, or like mm-hmm. every like 2 weeks to, you know, I'm probably not going to see them for a year, you know, because mm-hmm. I'm not going to be able to come back during the season. And yeah, it was an emotional roller coaster, but ultimately I was a pro, and you know, that's all I really wanted. So
incredible story. And yeah. you don't make an appearance that year, but I'm sure you learned a ton, because like your initial jump into college, now jumping into the pro game is a whole new level.
So I mean, looking at it, it was just like, yeah, I guess like it's another red shirt. You know what I mean? It's exactly. Just like,
yeah,
you got to learn what it takes to be a pro now, because it's
different. This worked before. Know? So yeah.
Like that first week as a pro was a eye opener. I was like, this is faster. I got to be able to make a pass. I got to be able to break lines. I got to be able to do all this stuff with my feet. Yeah, the first 2 weeks I was like, holy crap. Like, this is so fast. Like, I got to learn how to play with my feet. I got to learn how to hit it exactly on the point to a guy's foot so that he can turn and be able to face the right way. That was crazy. But like, I had guys in my corner, you know, the goalkeeper coach there, who was also a player. He was a player coach, Matt Pickens, who's a legend in himself, you know, played in MLS, has been to men's national team camps. You know, he ultimately like kind of taught me, showed me the way, I guess you could say. He didn't teach me, but he showed me the way. He was like very, he was what it was to be a professional keeper, like on and off the field. Like I'm saying, like, didn't eat bread, like, like stuff like
that. Oh, yeah.
He's doing all these stretches before practice. Like he's doing ab activations before practice. And I'm used to showing up 20 minutes before and just like walking on the field. Like, oh, I'm ready to go. Like just start like punting balls to half field, like without stretching. You know
what I mean? That hurts. Like, yeah. Just like hearing that.
Yeah.
That hurts
right now it is. I can't even imagine doing that. Like, but yeah, like he kind of showed me the way. He was in my ear like throughout the whole season, like, oh yeah, like you could be big time, like you could be like a USL number one already, like like that preseason, like Nashville preseason, like after that, like we had a talk and he was like, yeah, like you could be like a number one like right now. And I was like, all right, I guess that's the path like I'm trying to get to now. Like, how do I play? Like, how do I get on the field? Like, but ultimately, like that season, you know, we had two guys, like two really good like goalkeepers in front of me. We had him and then Connor Sparrow, who has already played in the USL for a couple years. So I knew I wasn't really gonna have an opportunity to play. And it just comes down to experience at that point, like wanting to get results, grinding out results. But I was playing with the best of the best that year. Like, I think there was like social media and like articles coming out like of how we were like a USL all-star team. Like, we pretty much had all the USL guys that they wanted to pretty much take a look at to bring to the MLS the next year. So training with guys like Daniel Rios, who's now at Chivas USA, and just taking like thousands of shots from him after training. I'm telling, this guy can place the ball wherever he wants. Like playing with guys like who else? Cameron Lancaster, who was doing it in the USL for years. He's a Golden Boot record holder, you know. And then, you know, guys like Lebo Maloto, who's a center mid who can put the ball anywhere on the field. It was just a learning curve that year, just knowing what it takes, you know, getting that experience and training. And yet at the end of that year, you know, they offered me to go into preseason with them the next year to the MLS camp. Like, they were like, yeah, we like you a lot. Like, you showed us like your worth pretty much. And we're gonna, like, that end of the year meeting, they were like, we're gonna bring you into the MLS camp, and there's either two options. We're gonna sign you and loan you out to get minutes, or, you know, we're gonna help you find your way in the USL to be a number one, and, you know, keep tabs on you or whatnot. And yeah, it was just, that was the next step, was just like, how do I play? How do I, you know, make the MLS team? And that's what I did that whole year, was just keeping my head down, like working hard, trying to like show my worth in order to, you know, get my chance for the future.
Yeah. And before we jump into the next squad, what was the short-term loan thing at the end of the season for
Oh
one
yeah, I
game?
should
What
have.
the hell is that?
So yeah, I don't know the rules on the loans and stuff like that, but I got a text from the GM, Mike Jacobs, one night on like a Wednesday, and he was like, "Yeah, you're offered to go on loan to New Mexico this weekend. They're number two ultimately. He had his brother's wedding," and I was like, "And they needed a guy to sit on the bench, like in case they like the guy got hurt." And I was like, hell yeah, like why not? Let's go to New Mexico for the weekend. And yeah, so I went there for a game, sat on the bench, but that happened, and like there was like four or five articles about me like just going there for a loan spell. So that kind of helped, just
Publicity, yeah.
in the weirdness itself, like the publicity was great. Like, the New Mexico team, like they had a whole like article, like their fan group, they came out with an article, and I actually got interviewed like after the game. Like, one of the guys, like I was like walking out to go back to the hotel, like they put me in, and like the guy, like I actually met like the guy, the owner group, who like comes out with the articles, and like he like talked to me a bunch, and like he came out with like this huge thing about me, like get to know Danny Vidiello, who was there, but he's not here anymore.
One day
It
loaning.
was yeah, it was there
Yeah.
for one day.
And yeah, it was a good experience. The coach was like, yeah, we're gonna keep tabs on you. Like, we heard really good things about you. We wish we could have had you here for a little bit longer, you know, so you could have trained and we got to actually like see you. But we heard good things from Nashville, blah, blah, blah. And yeah, did it help in the future? I don't know, but the publicity was pretty cool.
Yeah.
Gotcha. Yeah, let's transition into some of the later contracts. I mean, it seems like these learning curves were really prepping you to be the guy and be the guy who can really help the team, because in 2020 with the Pittsburgh Riverhounds, you were awarded USL Championships Golden Glove. So that's, for those who don't know, that's for the goalkeeper who lets in the least amount of goals across the regular season. First off, major congrats. I mean, that's massive in the scope of everything. And then to bring it to a question, did this feel like the beginning of getting that recognition that you were putting all this work into up into this time in the professional game?
Yeah, I mean, it's funny because that season I came in as the number two. I went in on trial at Pittsburgh after Nashville didn't work out. And they signed me. Luckily, they signed me. And I knew the coach, Bob Lilly, who's a legend in the USL. He gives out opportunities to the young guys like no other. Like if he likes you and you do the right things, like, you're gonna play. So I played and I did really well, you know, when I got my opportunity, and he stuck with me that COVID year. We played, like, obviously we had a short season, but yeah, everything I learned from the past, from, you know, from college, just kind of honed in, and everything just zoomed in on that one season. Just like, you're getting playing time now. That's all that mattered was playing time. And I was like, all right, like, let's put out whatever, like, put out the best I can. And that year I had like a 0.5 goals against average, and everything that I learned to get better at with my feet, you know, coming out for crosses. The professional game, you know, every goalkeeper is going to be able to make saves. I know when it comes on a Saturday, I'm going to be able to make saves, but the rest of it is where you kind of put yourself on a pedestal. So I know I'm clinical when it comes to coming for crosses and coming for punches, decent enough with my feet. And it all just came together for that one year where we had a good team of experienced guys that year. And, you know, they gave up maybe one or two chances a game where, you know, I made a save. I went into that season, like, I just need to make one save and then just focus on the rest of it, you know. So I would make the one save, luckily, and come out for crosses and manage the game pretty well. And yeah, and it ended up in, you know, going to getting the Golden Glove. And that's when just everything kind of just took off from there.
Yeah. Amazing. And we had a few goalkeepers on recently talking about pressure situations. And now that, first off, there's a new pressure with coming in as the starter, which was up until this point, a new experience for you. And then you also have a good history with penalties, with pens and saving them. What is your, or where does your mind go in these types of situations? And what's crucial for you to perform at your best?
I think mentality is a big thing for goalkeepers. I think confidence when you walk on the field every single day, just when you walk on the pitch, when you walk off the pitch on after a training, you want to feel like the best. You want to feel like you're the best, like you're the best on the field, like you're the man, you know what I mean? And ultimately on a Saturday, if you don't walk onto the field at a game thinking, yeah, I'm the man, or I'm the best at my job, then you're gonna have these, you know, flickers of I don't want to make, like, once you have the thought of I can't make a mistake, that's when everything's gonna go downhill. As a goalkeeper, you need to be able to do everything with the highest confidence, whether it's coming out for a cross, you know, kicking the ball, like your distribution, making saves. If you have any doubt in your ability to do any of that, you know, it's going to be a long, long game, long, long season. If you doubt yourself for a second, you know, that's when your mistakes are going to happen. When second guessing yourself, like all that stuff, when you go into the game, you got to be sharp as a knife and, you know that you're capable to do whatever the game asks you to do, because Goalkeeper, it's a very reactionary position. Yeah. You could be, the ball could be all the way down on the other side of the field, but in 0.5 seconds, it could be behind the back line, and you're making a decision whether you gotta come for that ball or you gotta drop and make the save. You know what I mean? And that half a second, if you're unfocused, you're doing whatever in your head. If you're looking at the fans or if you're just zoned out for a second, it's gonna hurt your team. It's gonna hurt you. And you just gotta have the sharpness to and the tools to deal with whatever comes your way.
Love that. That's amazing advice. So we're going to go and talk a little bit about the journey right now. So what things would you say helped you to get to this moment? So in other words, why did Danny make it as a pro and why is he still going?
I mean, since high school, I mean, it was just always I always had that underdog mentality. You know what I mean? So in high school, it was, you know, how do I get to Division I? You know, I might not be the most athletic, you know, going back to when those camps are the most physical, you know, stature beast. It was just like, all right, I mean, I got to prove myself, you know, when you got to college, all right, I got to prove myself again. And then going to Nashville, I got to prove myself. And then when you get to Pittsburgh and I'm actually playing, it's all right, I got to prove myself to be a number one week in, week out, best keeper in the league. So, and then coming to Sacramento, it's just the same. Like, how do I prove myself to be the best? How do I prove myself that I can play at any level? And just never, and just always having that hunger to be the best I can be, and, you know that the sky's the limit. Because, you know, right now, yeah, I've been a number one for the past 3-4 years, but I'm always like, all right, what, like, how do I, you know, keep that? Or you can never just let it, you know, all right, I'm the number one, I can relax now. It's always like, all right, I'm still the number one, but that's not all I want to be. You know what I mean? Does that make sense a little bit?
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, I just don't want to be a number one. I want to prove to my team that I want to be a trophy. I want to be a trophy level caliber keeper. I want to win a trophy. I want to, you know, keep pushing myself to be the best I can be. I want to, you know, win a goalkeeper of the year, you know, individually, but doing that as like winning a championship. Like, I don't want to just win goalkeeper of the year because, you know, I'm making the most saves. I want to win while I'm doing it. You know what I mean? Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely.
So it's always just that hunger to keep me pushing.
To do more. To keep.
I could be like, you know, like, you can see me however you want to see me, but I don't have anything to show for it. I don't have a trophy in as a pro yet. So that's my next step. I need to win a trophy.
There you go. There's your next.
Exactly.
And with that, we'll get into some quick fire questions. A little fast feet round. Favorite player growing up?
Tim Howard.
Favorite moment in football? Or soccer, everyone.
I think that for me individually or just in total?
For you individually, yeah.
Yeah, I think that sporting, nothing can really beat that sporting Kansas City game. I mean, we had like 12,000 fans, and being able to save that penalty and, you know, get to that final was great.
Most difficult moment in soccer?
Most difficult moment in soccer. That's a tough one. I think it probably just goes back to college, my senior year, not being able to have the year that I thought I was going to have.
Yeah. Favorite place you've lived so far?
Sacramento.
Love it.
How was Nashville? Amazing.
It was good. It was really good. But I think it's just like what you make of it. So for that year, it was great. Like, loved Broadway, loved the city. But, you know, Sabrina does a great job of bringing home wherever we are. And we have some great friends here in Sacramento. And, you know, there's a ton to do out here. So I think Sacramento is definitely awesome. My top so far.
Best advice you ever received?
Best advice. Treat people the way you want to be treated.
Simple enough. Best player you ever played with and against?
Best player I've ever played with. I would probably say best player, Kennardo Forbes in Pittsburgh was probably the best.
Okay.
Yeah. And then best I played against. Man, Johnny Russell was really good. He was really
Yeah,
good.
I see that.
I have a funny story about him too.
Go on.
So when he took a penalty against me. I went up to him and I was like, we had a pretty decent, I had a pretty good game. Like I made like 8 saves that game. And I went up to him before he took the pen and I was like, hey man, like if I save this penalty, like I might be your teammate next year. And
I
like we
love
had a
that.
laugh. Like we were laughing together and he was like, oh yeah. And so he takes the penalty and I guess the right way. And it just goes straight into the top ends. And I'm like, that is just typical, like
I
hilarious.
love that
Like
though.
Yeah.
it just goes straight in the top ends. I dive the right way. There's no chance I can save it. I'm like, this guy is just out of his mind.
This guy sees you like drool on your beard. He's like, damn, I do not want him to be my teammate next year.
Awesome. If you weren't a soccer player, what would you be?
I think I would be a teacher. I think I'd probably be a teacher. Yeah.
Have a favorite book?
I'm in a reading phase right now. The Silent Patient.
Okay. Silent Patient.
It's nice. A good one. Very good. I like that one a lot.
Patient. Write that down.
It's good.
And
it's
any quote or mantra that you live by?
Quote. That's a tough one. Quote. You miss 100% of the shots you don't take.
A little Wayne Gretzky there.
Yeah, Wayne Gretzky.
No, I love that. Danny, we want to thank you so much for coming on. We wish you the best of luck in the season and the next game's coming up, and we'll be following along.
Thanks, guys. Thanks for having me. That was a great time. Appreciate you guys.
Thank you, Danny.
See you again sometime.
Yes, yeah, sir. Absolutely. Yeah, man, it's been nice to have some keepers, a nice stretch of keepers, keeper month, unofficially, officially.
Yeah.
But it's just cool to dive into that mentality because, I mean, there's so many things that are so crucial for keepers, no matter the situation. I think it always, one of them is it always comes back to confidence. That's a huge one. It always comes back to proving yourself. I mean, like him, this underdog mentality that he's had to go through from college coaches saying maybe he wasn't good enough for the level he thought, or coming in being a number two, not being able to play for a little bit, and then constantly wanting more, constantly wanting to prove himself, even after an amazing season last year. Like the mentality is that was great. We're so happy it all happened. It was an amazing experience, but this year we want more. Like we want a taste of silverware. And I think that's sports just at the heart, right? That's like the competition aspect that we're all gunning for. And I think that's the mentality that he brings to the team. And it seems like it rubs off on others every day in training from how he approaches it. And it was cool to see his mentality 100%.
Yeah. And how he just keeps growing and getting better every year. I think he's done that clearly since high school into college into the professional game. And then within the professional game, I mean, he just keeps getting better every year. And you can see by what he's achieved that it's, I mean, he has a bright future ahead of him. And yeah, happy to see that. It's very good to talk to him. And like you said, also to hear from the goalie's perspective over the past few guests, like they, from their view and their perspective on the game, because they have to concentrate the same as we do, if not more, but they're not involved a lot of the time with the ball, you know? So it's like they have to be ready for a moment, and they might stand there for, like he said, you might be standing and you haven't touched the ball in 30 minutes. Then all of a sudden, ball gets put in behind, and you have to make a decision. Should I go, or should I go retrieve to the box and make a save? And I mean, and you have to make that play. You have to make the correct decision.
That's your job.
It's your fault, your job, and then you're on the bench if you make the wrong decision. Like it happens so quickly.
Yeah, so quickly. And it's like for us, we have the easier part of like being able to get into rhythms, you know, like making a few passes here to get into a rhythm, or like, you know, if you lose your rhythm, making a few easy passes here, or, you know, working, making a tackle, like you're waiting in those, for those moments that you have to be like, that is such a, I mean, that's such a, it's such a different sport in the same sport, you know, and it's so interesting to kind of hear those perspectives. And like you said, you could not touch it for 30 minutes, but that's where he talked about his communication has had to get so much better over the years in terms of, you know, making sure guys are always on it. I thought it was like, I don't think he meant to be funny, but it was just a funny quote. It was like, all right, who can I yell at now? Yeah. And I was like, that's so keeperish. Like, who can I yell at now?
Yeah.
But that's how it has to be, because a lot of the times if he's not in it directly passing and stuff, you know, he could be the guy that's keeping people in sync. He could be the guy that's keeping people on it, making sure he's directing, whether it's tactical, keeping, you know, players positively reinforced at the right times or negatively reinforced, more of like critical, you know, like more constructive criticism, like that doesn't happen in my box type of stuff. And yeah, I mean, the mindset's there for sure. And I can't wait to see where it brings him and the team. And, you know, make sure you guys follow along. I think USL is on ESPN or watch ESPN a lot of the time. If not, we'll correct it. But we'll be posting links to some of the guys, especially when some guests meet up for some footwork derbies of their own.
Exactly. And with that, keep up the free support. It is free. Like, subscribe, Apple reviews, Spotify reviews. It is free. Click subscribe on YouTube, like it. Last week, we put out a new little thing we're going to do, walking with footwork.
Trying to expand a lot of the content.
Just
into different
Something
realms.
New.
We got some new toys.
Exactly. And we got to use those.
That's all
for me. So until next time,
keep moving forward,
keep learning,
and make your own path.
Footwork is sponsored by ourselves and great companies such as Kong Fitness. But we love to partner with new brands to make their own path, so get in touch if you must.
Footwork.club, the official footwork website, is now live, so make sure you go join the club and check out all the new content and all the new features. Find us on YouTube at Footwork Podcast. You better like and subscribe while you're there. If not, I don't know what to tell you.
Find us on Instagram at Footwork_podcast. Great time there. Twitter at Footwork Podcast. TikTok at Footwork Podcast, where we like to post dance videos. Those are great, but more importantly, amazing content for any dream chasers out there. Plug pass. Tell your friends, your enemies, your mother, your brother, your sister, your pastor, it doesn't matter who. Tell the mailman, your dog, anybody that can listen.
Like, subscribe, review, because all of that helps while you're there. We'll take whatever we can get to join the club.
Join the club. He messed me up. I mean, he can just mash it together, so it's fine.